Okay, well, I'll call the meeting to order with my friend Mike Gay, council member for District Two. And how you doing?
Good, sir.
You getting settled into your office?
I guess soon we will.
One more meeting. I tell you, did you get elected back in March?
No, sir. We had the.
Oh, you had a runoff, didn't you?
Primary and then the runoff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it seems like forever between you, even after the second primary. It just takes a long time.
Yes, sir. It was.
Hurry up and wait. I appreciate you meeting with me. Tell me, we were going to try to print out some maps of the districts, and somehow we weren't able to find them. Your district, give me an idea where it goes. And one question in particular, does it go all the way to Nassau County?
Yes, sir. We touch, two sides of our district touches Nassau County, which would be the northern side
mm-hmm.
and the eastern side.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come back across the river. Uniquely, we're the only district that does that. And we're into East Arlington, basically from 295 east to Kernan,
mm-hmm.
and north to it, or south to Atlantic. And we got a one little strip down St. John's Bluff past Atlantic.
Huh. Okay. You got a little bit of everything.
Yes, sir. We've kind of got two major varieties of people that
you got different live in our district.
Yes, sir.
You know, really, when you look at it in Jacksonville, and I've always thought, you know, this would be a good idea at some point if we could, but every district, let's just say in our city, you've got so many different traditions and cultures that each part of our city have, you know, and a lot of people don't even realize it, you know. You go out to Maxville and out towards the Diamond D Ranch, everybody's wearing cowboy hats and they got mm-hmm. big buckles on.
Mm-hmm.
You go into Riverside and there's tattoo places all over the place in the Five Points. And nothing against tattoos, I'm just saying. And then you go down into San Marco, you know, we all like the square and shopping and, you know, the parks and that kind of stuff. And so when I was a district council person, I went from San Marco, the South Bank, all the way to Sunbeam Road. And my district was kind of big because there's a lot of pine trees still there.
Mm-hmm.
And the town center wasn't even built.
Yes, sir.
That was the zoning under when I was on the council zoning the town center. In Belfort Road, Isle of Palms, I mean, it was monstrous.
Yes, sir.
And so how much, you've got a construction company, right?
Yes, sir. We do electrical and power line utility construction.
Okay. Power line. So you're up there with the on the poles.
Yes, sir. We do a lot of that that type of work. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Wow. So, you know, I just want to kind of get to know you a little bit, and also get a chance to know what's important to you in your district. And how long have you been in Jacksonville?
Lifelong.
Lifelong.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you go to high school?
Andrew Jackson.
All right. That's where my mama went.
Yeah, fighting Tigers.
Yeah. Well, they fought. I remember my son was playing for Stanton High School,
mm.
and we played Jackson, and they had Leon Washington was on Jackson's team back then. And you know, Leon went on to be.
Went to the pros.
Big time,
yeah.
He broke loose, which, you know, it's not too hard against Stanton, you know, I'm just saying, you know, it's a lot of hard-working kids, but they weren't real big. He broke loose through the line of scrimmage. But we had the fastest kid in Jacksonville on our team. His name was Trey Mackey, and he could scorch it. So he caught up with Leon Washington and jumped on his back. Leon carried him about 12 yards before he finally fell down. And that was at Jackson Field. I will always remember that.
Yes, sir.
And when did you graduate?
82.
Okay. So you're a young man.
Yeah.
Right. Enjoyed meeting your wife the other night. How many kids do y'all have?
I've got two stepchildren and one and my daughter.
Okay, yeah, I think you told me that.
Yeah.
In your district, what's your main priorities in your district from one side to the other?
Well, a lot you hear from the people, and it's rightfully so, the infrastructure, our roads out there is kind of an afterthought, and we've got to get it to the forethought. We have got to some way or another slow down, pause the development, because most of the roads out there in District 2 are the same roads that I grew up on driving on as a kid, and they haven't been touched.
Did you grow up there?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Where are you at in the district?
I'm on the infamous just south of San Mateo.
Okay.
The one that area that was trying to be redistricted out of.
I remember that.
That was the big battle was keep
that.
San Mateo in District 2.
Right. Okay. And I've talked to some folks from that district before, and they talked a lot about development, the size of the lots, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And is that kind of
my perspective on it is, you know, progress is good and progress is needed, but it needs to be progress with a purpose,
mm-hmm.
and the purpose of the people.
I like that, progress with a purpose.
And, you know, it needs to be effective development to where it, you know, everybody needs to, has the right to pursue their American dream, whether that's owning a home, renting a home, whatever you desire. But somebody else's American dream shouldn't destroy your American dream.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've got so much development that's taking place that when one subdivision gets built, gets put in, another subdivision comes beside it, and it's 2 foot higher, and then all their homes are flooded.
Yeah, okay.
And they're allowed to do that. And so there's things that's not being looked at effectively in our planning and building department that we got to address to where, you know, the somebody's new home, American dream, is now came in and destroying somebody's backyard, making it a swamp where, you know, they had dry land, and
mm-hmm.
and now it's not.
Yeah, we have one off St. Augustine Road. There's a rezoning, it's already passed, but it was apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say which apartments or anything like that, but I got a text from a constituent out there, and I'll tell you who it was. It was Joey Thigpen, who owns Thigpen Heating and Air, North Georgia.
I know of him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was one of his employees. His employee backs up to that district. His whole backyard was like chocolate milk.
Yeah.
It was unreal. And,
well, what's not realized in yes, there's rules and requirements to control your surface water, runoff water. What's not controlled and is not realized, and that is the major problem, is the water table hydraulicking underground,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the problems are coming from.
Okay.
And see, when you raise an elevation of a property, you raise the water table over here where they're irrigating, and then it hydraulics up underneath, and then you start losing. You get what's one of the big things we're having to deal with in Florida is home foundations, homes cracked. Well, there's a major factor, is from the water hydraulic and up underneath the homes from new developments that was at one time fine, but when they build beside it, then the water, you know, you come out here and you look at Saddlewood, all the roads are saturated and ain't even raining. It's not coming from the top, it's coming from underneath. And it's hydraulic and from these other developments.
Do y'all have any sinkholes out there? Or is it just
No, in this region in Florida, I work all over Florida, we don't have to deal with that. It's where you get into more of the limestone areas that you'll have the sinkholes.
What do you have a strategy on how you want to try to address that?
Well, it's back to the planning department, to where we've got to come to grips with the engineering, that we got to take it a step further of not just dealing with surface water. We've got to put in drainage that's going to tackle the increased rise in the water table. And so that's where, you know, they've got to go back to the drawing board, and you control, like I say, you know, there's got to be a study before the development goes in. What's the water table in, say, 50 foot around the development that's going in?
Yeah, it's the first time I've really heard about a water table like that. But it's not the first time I've heard of, you know, one subdivision flooding another.
Right.
It happens, and it can happen anywhere. That sounds like might be well get public works and planning and maybe any other related city department together and just say, look,
it's like anything, until it's realized, it can't be corrected. And so realizing where it's coming from, that it's then it can be addressed. And it's, you know, it's just, I deal a lot with lighting and spill lighting. You know, it's, if you don't sit there and put rules and regulations in there, then anything, you know, they'll just come in and put lights in and blast out.
You know, I mentioned this to some of the other district council members, and this will be my fourth term as an at-large, but I was a district councilman 20-some-odd years ago. And I loved it. I enjoyed being a district council member because it allowed me to work with my constituents and make tangible changes and differences and community centers and that you could look back at and say, I did that. Now, some of them, they cut the ribbon on after I was out of office because government worked so slow. But I don't think they do that. I don't think they do this nowadays. But back then, they used to have a planner assigned to each district council person, or maybe assigned to three or four district council persons. And by that time, that was, I guess, in my third term, and I had learned from a previous council member to meet with that planner who was assigned to me once or twice a month to find out what developments may be, you know, because the developers go into there and they start applying for development. And I would ask the planner to, you know, recommend that they don't have to, but recommend that you might want to go see Mike Gay. He's the district council member out there. And so I had my district, I just told you where my district was, and it was the highest growing district. I mean, I had more rezonings. I mean, I had sometimes five rezonings a week. I mean, it kept me so busy. But I stayed ahead of it by working with the planning department.
Yeah.
And sure, you want to close that door maybe just a tad. Leave it open.
It won't stay halfway.
It won't? Okay. We'll just make an exception. I like to keep doors open, but we'll just it's echoing out there. That really helped me a bunch.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those developers would come in, and my rule of thumb was, you know, look, I want to help you accomplish your goals, and I want to help you if you want to get your rezoning and do something to property. And with your property, that's okay, except when whatever you do with your property negatively affects the other properties around. And, well, I got property rights, and sometimes they, I got property rights. And, yeah, hey, I believe in property rights.
Mm-hmm.
You own it, you should have some rights. But I would tell them, but sometimes your property rights of what you want to do may negatively affect the property rights of the people
right.
that live right behind you.
I agree.
And I've seen it over and over and over again. So I grew a little wary of hearing property rights because it's property rights, you can be selfish about it, not care about anybody else, and just do your zoning and move on to your next plot of land and do your zoning and development. So, you know, you may have already thought about that, but staying in touch with...
Yeah, I mean, just because it's allowed by the law don't mean it's the right thing to do.
No,
and
no,
so
not
we,
at all.
We know out there on the, the northern, eastern part of the district, the Black Hammock Island, Pumpkin Hill, and it's like there's always a push to develop.
Well, they did that development not too long ago.
Yeah, I was involved as far as the community with the Councilman Ferraro on it. And that part had got carved out in the overlay,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's, and I can understand that, you know, the property owner wanting to have future possibilities with it, and but when you go from the zoning that was on it for a half acre, one home per half acre,
mm-hmm.
to these
60 foot,
you know, and it's not even conducive with what's out there. And so I think there, you know, there's an overlay out there, and I'm, you know, 100% behind protecting that overlay.
Absolutely.
To keep, you know, we're losing our a lot of our natural resources here, and there again, there's an overlay, and you see what it is before you buy the property out there. You know, don't come trying to change it because it was just the way when you...
I want to tell you, when Al... So when I first got on the council, there's an overlay that I live in San Marco. And I helped develop the overlay 20 years earlier with Lori Boyer and some other people in San Marco. Because Lori back then was not working for the city. She would eventually become the councilman-to-be. But Lori was a land use planner, attorney. So she's smart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were having problems with my district, and I couldn't get my arms around it because I had no tool to use. So we came up with this overlay, and it had done a good job, but it got broke real bad when I first got back on the council, and it has not had a positive effect on our area.
Yeah.
So we passed the overlay that Al had worked on, and as soon as that vote was over and I supported it, I walked out to the audience with the nice people out there and I said, let me just share something with you. You got an overlay, don't think that's your cure-all, because
correct.
Somebody's going to come along.
That's right.
And they're going to try to mess it up. And I said, just mark my words, so be vigilant.
Yep.
And sure enough, a year later, they came back.
Yeah. And it's not the cure-all, but it's the it gives, you know, some precedence that, you know,
absolutely.
That this is what the community wants, and I'm all for the people need a voice. That's their community. Let them have the voice of what they want out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we it'll be interesting to see how things shake out. In all the departments with the new mayor's office coming in.
Yeah.
And also there's some people that may be in appointed positions that might take a view of their job one way with one mayor, but may take a view another
yeah.
way if there's another mayor that comes in, new mayor
right.
comes in. But had a feeling that the zonings and so forth. So my rule of thumb was, if you're gonna put a zoning in, it must add value to the surrounding areas in your district. And I want to help you with that. I tried to help Al with it as much as I could.
Yeah.
And
yeah, definitely be greatly appreciated.
You are the new frontier out there.
Yes, it is, and you know it's we kind of, you know, I'm optimistically positive with Mayor-elect Deegan coming and speaking to us, you know, and telling us what she understands the issues with the building department and is looking to
Has
make change.
Has she done that with y'all?
When she came to JU.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And spoke to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, you know, kind of a fresh breath there that, you know, that somebody's going to listen to us.
Yeah.
And see what we're having to deal with and what we hear out there. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to bring our development back in to, if you're putting in this development, you're actually taking care of the infrastructure and the roads before you put the development in.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it backwards, and we're seeing developments that get put in, and well, we don't have the money to do that.
Yeah, no.
And
that's right.
And then we just get stuck with it.
And the city, thanks to the 6-cent gas tax, is more flush with money now. The only issue is that we got some real big ticket items that I'm not sure that flush of money is going to take care of it all.
And like I say, there'll be a lot of things we agree on, we don't agree on, but you know, it's like the us being District 2 out there, we're heavily port driven.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the our business out there, we got a lot of independent drivers that haul from the port.
Mm-hmm.
And the 6-cent gas tax just, I mean, it put a hurting on them. And so things
put a hurt on
the independent drivers that are burning 300-400 gallons of fuel a day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're getting paid per load.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it come at a time that we, of all time, we didn't need it, and it's just,
it's really
affecting. You know, I hear them up there where I eat breakfast at, you know, there's a bunch of them in there early in the morning at 6 o'clock, you know. And
you get the real scoop.
I get, you know, and so.
Just blame it on me.
I have.
There's that Carlucci. You know, I don't know what to do about him, but.
But, you know, that's the real world, and it's things that I want to see what we can do to, you know, relieve that, because at the end of the day, by the time we go, what they unload at the port and the time they deliver it until the time it gets to the grocery shelf, it all hits us in the back
mm-hmm.
pocket.
Yeah, so I can see that. So obviously development, you want development that's orderly, that fits in with the areas, particularly on the north side near those preserves and so forth, and that's, you know, if it's not in the overlay, it ought to have at least a transition that reflects what the overlay is around it. And
yeah, I mean, it's, if you, I think you're probably aware of the Alta Road construction that's going on, the 4-lane and that, to,
mm-hmm.
but you know, that was supposed to have been done in the 2003 Better Jack's plan.
Hmm.
And it's been dormant and stagnant out there, and if it had been put in, Center Drive was supposed to went all the way around and connected to 295 and that, and to convert an Alta Road and all that into
mm-hmm.
4-lane. If it had been built then, and you know, the funds hadn't run out, been taken away from us, then
mm-hmm.
you know, we've been just be dealing with a few extra red lights that needed to be going in.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just so far behind, and we've had, from then till now, we've had so much more development
mm-hmm.
that there's got to be some more proportional appropriation of the tax dollars that it's going in for these developments, but nothing's going into the get the road
yeah.
completed, and that falls back on the, you know, the Better Jack's plan that we're still paying for,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and we fill out, like in the District 2, you know, Jacksonville got better everywhere except District 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely looking for a better Jack's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Switch gears just for a second, an issue that I just kind of became involved in, for two reasons. One, I'm at large, and second reason is George Crady used to take me fishing with my dad when I was a kid. You know George Crady?
I think they're out there on Hampshire.
Yeah, they have the the bridge across us from Duval over to Nassau, over the Nassau River. Well, there was a fishing pier, which was an old bridge, that went across and connected. And now the only one that's there is from Nassau, and it goes about halfway, and then the rest of the bridge has been it's closed down. And so I went out there because George turned 92. Good Lord, I hope I have as much energy when I'm 82. He's got when he's 92. He is a remarkable man. He served in the Florida House for 20 years, and he's a very close family friend. And we used to go fishing out with him in his little wooden boat. It wasn't little; it was a big wooden boat with a little motor, but it was enough to get him out there, throw the anchor out.
Right.
And we catch a bunch of those big black drum and big bull reds, you know, with an egg sinker and a shrimp. it was fun days. To an 8-9-year-old kid, I mean, I just always appreciated that. So I've been working with Dean Black with the state, because really I think it's the state that needs to come in and make some.
I agree.
Put some money into that. The city in Nassau County have an interlocal agreement where we've been putting money towards maintenance of that. But I went out there the other day, and I don't see any maintenance has been done. So I don't know where the money's been spent. I'm not saying it hasn't, but I'm just like, where's it going, you know? So I don't know if you've been involved or been informed about that issue out there or not.
No, I haven't. I've definitely heard the issues or complaints about the old jetties, Huguenot Park.
Yeah.
You know, that we really got to, state's got to come up with some help on getting some more restoration out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's in their control, but it's still, you know, we got so much potential out there that's just being turned, you know, a blind eye to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I met when I was running in 2019, I met with Adam Hoyles and one other gentleman who I think was the other gentleman that knew more about the way that the jetties actually caused, you know, those Huguenot Park to be formed, because the sand comes down and the cannon accumulates, and you got Huguenot Park, you know, or part of it anyway. But as we progress a little bit on the George Crady thing, Sherry, we need to make sure Mike knows, you know, where we're at, is invited or whatever.
Please.
Yeah, I would, I think that would be good. Because when I walked out, I mean, you got to go across over to Nassau County, and then you take a left and you go to the George Crady Bridge and Park. And probably at least 50% of those people are from Jacksonville, you know. And buddy, I'm gonna tell you, there's some good fishing off that bridge. I mean, they were catching whiting, they were catching black drum. I should have taken pictures of all that, but I didn't. I took pictures of the bridge, and I took pictures of you know, some of the areas that needed some maintenance that hadn't got them, you know. And then I took a bunch of pictures from George. But we'll if something comes up on that, we'll let you know. I'm going to be leaning hard on Dean Black. I don't know if Aaron Bowman is a senator for that area or not. I think he probably is, because he goes up into Nassau County.
Aaron Bean.
Yeah, Aaron Bean. What did I say?
Bowman.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I used to work with Aaron Bowman more than Bean, but I have a long history with Aaron Bean, too. But anyway, I think it's the state's responsibility to step up and do something with that. But it's very expensive. So whether the whole bridge can be completed or not, or just at least stabilize half of it, you know.
I agree.
Would be good.
Yep.
And then what about, and the other thing that I thought, you might think this is a good idea, you might want to think about it. So Mark Middlebrook, he's executive director.
Director of the Foundation.
Yeah, the Tim McQuan Foundation, and that includes Pumpkin Hill, Cedar Point,
okay.
And all of that Tim McQuan area out there. And that was done under Mayor Jacks, you know, purchased,
right.
That was purchased. And they're developing it, but slowly, but they're developing it into trails for hiking by horses. There's gonna be some camping sites and so forth. But all of that property was bought so long ago under, you know, Delaney's administration. Over the years, I think some folks have kind of forgot about it. And I kind of see an opportunity to show this council what that could be all about. And so I'll send you Mark Middlebrook's, if you'd like, his contact.
Sure.
And
yes, sir.
You could talk to him, and they might could put together a boat tour, you know, for council members out there. We'd have to let the media on, so it'd be all in the sunshine. And but, you know, it's beautiful out there. Probably a little nicer to go in the fall than it would be in 97-degree weather. So I'll send that to you.
Okay.
You could think, and I'll have him, if you don't mind, I'll send you your contact, his
yeah, that's
with
fine.
Your permission.
That's fine.
What about parks and stuff like that in your district?
You know, parks in the district citywide, what I do in business, I work with parks all over the state of Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. So
mm-hmm.
I know what we're doing wrong here, I know what we're doing right. Our parks need help tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
We're so far behind in technology. There's the park director, Daryl Joseph, he's done the best I feel that he could do with what he's had to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot that we need to put a focus on, you know, out on the District 2 in the northern region there. We've got Sheffield Park, and it was built, phase one was built, and then Fort Family Park off of Bay Meadows.
Is that yours?
No.
Okay.
It was built after the first phase of Sheffield, if I got my dates correct. So phase one was built at Sheffield, phase one was built at Bay Meadows. They're on phase three at Bay Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheffield's still stagnant
mm-hmm.
with just phase one.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, in that area, that we've got no walking trails. We've got no, you know, there's so much more that should have been already developed out there that we don't, you know. And here's another, I guess, issue I got with our development. In our neighboring county, St. John's County, when a development goes in, the county requires that developer to put in a park. Now, I'm not talking about just a picnic table and a swing set and calling it a park.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting in soccer fields, baseball fields, walking trails that can accommodate the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say the kids, they won't stay out of the streets, the kids are in the streets and they're a problem. Well, if they don't have nowhere to go, we've set our kids up to fail.
Yeah.
And so what, you know, if we're going to give these incentives and whatever, well then, by golly, we need to start seeing something that's going to be a benefit to the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not just letting them, as I say, you know, ravish our land and leave us the spoils. And
mm-hmm.
then it's the city taxpayers' problem that's got to come in and find area where to put these parks in.
Yeah.
And so
you're saying you need Sheffield Park upgraded quicker. catch up.
It needs to get back on the front burner.
Yeah. But you need more parks as well.
We, you know, you come in and put in 200 or 300 homes. Well, there's, you know, there's got to either, we either got to start doing a park bank that if they don't have, if there's not enough room to put a park in there, would they, just like a land bank, mm-hmm. for mitigation, they need to be putting into a park bank. Mm-hmm. And we need to have property set aside that this money's going into the park bank, mm-hmm. that it can, you know, that they don't have to get in a car to drive,
yeah.
10 miles away to go,
yeah,
to the park.
Got a park close by.
They can ride their bicycles to the park.
And, you're talking about more active type parks with,
yeah.
the league and basketball.
Just,
and,
you know, openness to where it's, mm-hmm. Right now we've got San Mateo Little League. We've got Tom Marshall Park, which is, it's maxed out. It can't be done anything else with, but these parks are so old.
Mm-hmm.
Sheffield was one of the newest ones that was put in. And then, you know, over on this side of the river, we got the Dunes, well, it's at Austin Park now.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a few other smaller ones, but we got to, you know, there's so much more potential that we could be doing. It doesn't have to be, all of them have to be baseball fields or soccer fields,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I've even had the guys that come to me about the radio remote cars. They had a place, and now they've been just evicted.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, please, just find us something.
Yeah.
You know, and so I said, I will look to do that, even if at the new library, if we got to designate part of the back of the parking lot for your radio cars to race around or something,
yeah.
you know. And so,
is Landy Road in your district?
No, sir.
Okay. Do you know whose district that's in?
That, I believe, will be in Reggie Gaffney, Jr.,
okay.
District 8.
All right. And transportation, you're basically saying you got a lot of two-lane roads, but the development is outpacing the ability to keep up with four-lane roads.
Yeah, I mean, our two-lane roads, you don't have to put in speed humps. They've got the natural speed humps in them.
I love it. So you say we're running out of time?
You're at 10:40. I just wanted to let you know we were going to observe a hard stop at 10:45, and you have one speaker card.
Okay. Well, I tell you, the time of these meetings goes by so fast. But
yes, sir.
But so, you know, what else would you like to share that with a little bit of time we got left?
Well, you know, just as far as in the district, you know, I want to be reaching out to all my at-large council people, like, please come and help with and hear what the people are needing, and especially, you know, with the development. You know, I've had so many people call me about Yellow Bluff. You know, they can't even let their kids go out in the front yard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cars are flying down there, and they're having wrecks in their yards. So there's some needs that we need to have traffic-wise, and I, you know, it's hard to explain it sometimes until you've been there and seen it and
yeah.
experienced it and mm-hmm. what the traffic looks like. But yeah, I appreciate the willingness to meet with me, and look forward to making our city better.
Well, when you've got an important town meeting, let us know. If I can get out there, I'll do my darndest to get out there and help you. I think you've got somewhat of a, if I was going to compare your district to a canvas, like a canvas that you paint a picture on with art, you know, with oil painting, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The canvas has got, is partially painted out a little bit, but you still have enough open canvas, because there's going to be a lot more development, I think, coming out there. And boy, that now is the time to try to get your arms around it. And
I agree.
Try to surround it with.
And that's where I feel like the new administration is going to be able to help and be sensitive.
I think they will. Well, so you've got, either you know how to get in touch with me.
Yes, sir.
And I kind of had a feeling what some of the needs were going to be because of being involved in some of the district, or some of the Al's district when he had his. And then there's some constituents out there that are kind of community leaders that they call me and tell me. And so you're kind of echoing a lot of that.
Yeah.
But I think you're still on the front edge enough that you can stay in front of it. And I really would suggest that whoever your planner is, make sure that, unless you already have, they stay in touch with you and maybe have a meeting with them, have your council aide come and have him or her schedule some meetings once a month or so, and just say, hey, what's being planned for my district that maybe I don't know yet, maybe in the forefront, something I can get ahead of. You don't ever want to get behind on a zoning.
Yes, sir. I totally agree.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, and I have a few issues that'll be coming up, but this was your time.
All right.
And maybe we'll have a time when it's my time. But I have really enjoyed it. Al Ferrari has said the nicest things about you. Enjoyed meeting your family and your wife and everybody. And so, you know, it's going to be a fun 4 years for you. I think you'll be surprised at how much you'll get done. Unless there's anything else we need to talk about, we're going to write this stuff down. Every district we meet with, we're writing stuff down that's
good.
Important. And you've got my contact information.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for meeting with me. We have a speaker. I think his name is John Nooney. I'm not sure. And I don't think I properly reflected who was here besides Mike Gay and myself. And that would be Spider on the front.
From the backyard.
Fiddlers, ain't they?
Yeah.
Are those Fiddlers?
Yeah.
We have Sherry Weber and Amber Lehman here. He went to the backyard and got those. He's on Popsburg Creek.
Yeah. Some nice size to them. All right. Well, listen, my name's John Nooney, 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216. City Council District 4, CPAC Planning District 3. And Mr. Gay, welcome. And, you know, let me just say this. Legislation is the dialogue of the community. Nothing's going to happen unless that takes place. And you know what? In my, you know, getting over here, you know, I left my glasses. So I'm going, you know, everything's sort of a little blurry. But, you know, I'm going to, you know, tonight there's a council meeting. And you know what? I'll take you up on it. It may work. I have 6 minutes now. All right. Well, anyway, the ordinance. You
I
know,
very
it's
yesterday.
You were.
We'll
I'm just, I know. Don't push it. But at least you're not turning the mic off. You know,
don't
I've had that happen. But
yeah.
Anyway, so tonight, you know, I don't know if Reed Island, you know, the is going to be taken over, you know, control of something like that. And, you know, that had fine dollars. So I don't know if that's District 1, District 2, District 8. But anyway, that's out there. But what I wanted to share with you, you know, and just going forward, you know, when you talk about parks, you know, and access to the waterways, I'm going to just share something with you right now. You know, like I am on Pottsburg Creek. And tonight on the agenda, there's a public hearing, and I'll be speaking to it. It's 2023-373. That's appropriating $2.2 million for the Marine Fire Station. You know, it's on Scott Mill Road. You know, and you know, I talked to Chief Powers, I gave him a heads up, you know. I'll be hitting the green button on that. But that's right on the river. It's 100 feet. Our property is 200 feet. Category 1 wetlands, next to a FEMA house. FEMA, it should have already been demolished. That's going back years. So, you know, there's a part of that with that FEMA. You know, And I'll have fun with it. There's also another bill, for historic preservation and expanding the areas of it. Well, you know what? That FEMA house should almost become an historic site next to Category 1 wetlands, especially in the scope of resiliency. So, and anyway, when I talk about Pottsburg Creek, Mr. Gay, because you will or could be potentially a vote, in joining your other council members and the at-large council members in making the case for public access to our waterways. Our property is a waterfront public access street end. Pottsburg Creek from the Skinner's family all the way out, through the Arlington River to the St. John's River, out to the ocean. There's only one public access, and that's the Beach Boulevard, at Allwet Sports. Andy Fraden, the owner, he supports Pottsburg Creek Public Park. It has that potential, but it requires the political will. I don't have a sponsor. And let me just say this, I'm having fun with it. There are over 2,500 billionaires in the world. Noonie needs one. Call it the Noonie Project. But you know what? I'll tell you, reaching out to these billionaires, and the fiddlers, I've got thousands just in the backyard. I've got the turtles, the owl, everything, manatees. So again, and I'm on that resiliency team stuff. And I haven't even seen one project. I couldn't even tell you what one resiliency project is right now.
They're coming.
I know, and then I'm gonna be, hey, vote on this or, pick one. So anyway, it's that part of it. Like, where was the entire process even prior to that to participate in?
So, for the resiliency?
Yes.
Well, when we had a special committee on resiliency, everybody was welcome to.
Well, and I did. Well, not to get into, but anyway, I went to four meetings yesterday. I went to my CPAC. Well, anyway, I just want to, again, welcome. We really, as far as development, as far as public access, as far as recreation, we need more of it. And, well, listen, thank you again. These were great.
Well, thank you, John. It's good to see you again today.
And listen, you guys know I'm fishing. Give me a call. There's some other.
I'm
on the Broward River, so I got plenty of them.
That's one thing I thought I was going to mention, Mike. It's lost me now. But, anyway, I guess my overall view of your district is there's been a lot of dense zoning that has already been passed, and there's a lot of Alta Road used to have a paint gun. They would let paint teams go out there. My son used to go out there and play paintball. And I went with him one time. I got popped on the side of the neck, and I said, "This is enough of a paintball for me, brother. I'll leave it to you kids." But it's growing. But it's you've got great opportunity out there, and so I hope I can be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. We're both going to have times we may go a little different direction, but I feel like this council, this new group that's come in, I think it's a really good group. Everybody's been meeting with, and hopefully we can all help each other accomplish our goals and stay within a budget somehow.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, I guess our meeting is adjourned. Thank you again, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
See you, brother.